I'm trying to figure out what to talk about today. I have a newfound respect for people that have to get up here and do this every single week. It's not easy to pick a topic that you can really speak about and understand. So I kind of thought about the last couple times that Mike wasn't able to be up here, and we had some speakers. And so a few months ago, we had the elders got up and they talked about hope. Talked about how hope is part of our Christian life, what we should do. Last week, Dennis talked about faith. So I thought, as I was thinking about all of that, it would just be fitting to go ahead and complete the trio today from 1 Corinthians 13. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in verse 13, it says, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Most, if not all, of us know this verse, and likely the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 13. But this morning, I want to take a second. I just want to stop and think about love. Exactly what is love? Why is love so important? So I want to start with a short scripture about the importance of love. In Matthew 22, the Pharisees are questioning Jesus, trying to trap him, wanting him to say something that is wrong, something that's divisive. And Jesus answers them in verses 36 through 40, and he says, "Teacher," or they say to him, "Teacher, which is the greatest command in the law?" And then Jesus replies, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." So in response to their trying to test Jesus, to get him to mess up, to say something that wasn't true, we as Christians are given the greatest commandment in love the Lord your God, but also given the second greatest commandment, both of those being love. Based on the verses and the clear language Jesus used in the greatest commandment, love must be at the center of everything we do. There's no question. Love must be at the center of everything we do as Christians. In 1 Corinthians 13, it states, "Without love, speaking in tongues is no more than a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal." It also says, "Without love, prophecy and the ability to fathom all mysteries and have all knowledge, it's nothing without love." You can have faith so strong that you can move mountains, but without love, it means nothing. You can give everything you have to the poor. You can give your body over to hardship. But without love, you gain nothing. Love is central to all teaching of Christ. And without love, faith means nothing. And without love, we have no hope. With these examples, I would say nothing is as important in your Christian walk as love. Now that we've kind of talked about the importance, we understand several times we're talked about the importance of love. We're told about how it's the greatest multiple times in the Bible. I want to look at exactly what is love. What does it mean to love someone? So I did a quick Google search when I was writing this, and Google says love involves deep, unselfish affection, care, and commitment to another's well-being. It's characterized by empathy, trust, respect, and a willingness to make sacrifices for their happiness and growth. While it encompasses positive emotions like passion and attraction, it is also defined by compassionate actions, mutual understanding, and a sustained active desire for the other person's success and flourishing. So I've been able to do a few weddings, most recently Zach and Katie. And I like to talk about love being more than just words. You stand in front of people at a wedding and you profess your love for each other, and you talk about, "I love this person, they love me." But it's also the action that comes along with it. Many consider love to be a passive verb. So love is just passive. "I love you, you love me." I consider love to be an action verb. People today tend to feel, understand, and believe things through your actions, not just your words. That is why it is critical to share Christian love through your actions and not just your words. You show Christian love by how you treat people, by how you act, by not just what you say, but how you say it. Jesus gives the perfect example of love through actions in Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. This is a long read, but I want to get through it all here. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "When did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They will also answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick, or in prison, and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. So using this as an example, love was shown through action in each of the examples that Jesus gave us. You gave somebody something to eat or drink. You invited in a stranger. You clothed someone who didn't have clothes. You looked after me when I was sick, and you visited me when I was in prison. And on the opposite side, a lack of action or a lack of showing love was enough to be condemned. More than just being in action, the New Testament gives us characteristics of love. Again, back in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7 says, "Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres." When reading through the New Testament and when reading through the life of Jesus, we see different kinds of love that is shown to many different groups. You may even be able to categorize them as you read through them. And I've got some examples of the different kinds that I kind of look at when reading through. So there's earthly love, shown by friends, close relationships, supporting and caring for each other. Jesus showed this by his friendship with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, how he wept with Mary and Martha when they lost their brother Lazarus, and how he comforted them in their time of loss. There's also family love, the love that you show to your family. It's deeper than an earthly love because this is your spouse, your children, close family, your parents. Shown by the love of Jesus to Mary, his mother. Even in death, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he made sure that Mary is taken care of by his apostles as a last act of love to his mother. Brotherly love. Love your neighbor as yourself. The golden rule stems from this: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Jesus shows this to his apostles by washing their feet, for serving them, for caring for them throughout the scriptures. And then finally, there's godly love, the greatest and most pure form of love. This is shown by giving of everything you have to bring someone to heaven, to show them the path that gets them to heaven. Jesus is the greatest example, as he made the path. He died for us to give us that path to heaven. The greatest love, to me, the greatest love that you can show anyone here on earth is to show them the path to heaven, to get them to walk a Christian life, show them the right way. And that, to me, is godly love and the greatest and most pure form of love that you can show. All of these types of love are good. They're worthy. You need to show these types of love and have these types of relationship. But I want to take just a few more minutes and focus on godly love. What does that mean in more detail? Throughout the New Testament, we have examples from Jesus to look at, and we can see exactly what godly love could be, what he portrayed it as when he was here on earth. In John chapter 4, we read about Jesus talking with a Samaritan woman at the well. Even though Jews and Samaritans hated each other at this time, Jesus spoke with her. Even though she was a sinner, if you remember the story, she had already had 5 husbands and was living with another man who wasn't her husband. Jesus still took the time and spoke with her. She took that message back into town and came back, and many believed Jesus that day because of her and the love that Jesus showed to her. He didn't shun her, even though he knew she was a sinner. He spoke with her. He loved her, and many came to him because of that love. In Luke 19, we have a story about Zacchaeus. Everybody has heard the song about Zacchaeus. We know who he is. He's a chief tax collector, but he was very wealthy. Doing some research, in this time, if you were a tax collector and you were wealthy, it was seen that you were taking some off the top for yourself. And so somebody may only have to pay X in taxes, but you were charging them Y and keeping Z for yourself. And so you were seen as a thief, which is why tax collectors were considered sinners in this day. So Jesus, we all know the story about how Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and he climbed the tree to see Jesus, but Jesus stopped at the foot of the tree and said, "Come down, I'm coming to your house." So even though Zacchaeus was seen as a thief, Jesus stayed with him. Jesus had dinner with him. Jesus did not shun him, even though he knew he was a sinner. Another example in John chapter 8 is the woman caught in adultery. This is a story we all probably know. Again, the Pharisees, in an effort to trap Jesus, brought up the law of Moses and how they should stone this woman because she was caught in the act of adultery. Jesus' reply in verse 7 was very simple. "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Slowly, all of those who were there, all of those who brought her to Jesus to try and trap Jesus, to test Jesus, they all slowly walked away. Only Jesus and the woman were left. In verse 10, Jesus looks at the woman and says, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She replied that no one had. Jesus' reply was, "Neither then do I condemn you. Go now and leave your life of sin." Even though she was a sinner, Jesus did not condemn her, but loved her. Even though she was a proven adulteress, Jesus did not condemn her, but he loved her. These are great examples of what godly love is and examples of Jesus showing that godly love to others. There are many instances throughout the Bible of Jesus showing love of action and showing those characteristics given to us. He healed people. He drove out demons. He saved people. He cared for people. He visited people. So many others. By understanding better the importance of love and knowing what love is, we can also understand love better by knowing what love is not. By looking at examples of what love is not, again, helps us understand better how to show godly love in our daily lives. 1 Corinthians 13, you're going to see me come back to this several times, tells us love is not envious. Love is not boastful. Love is not prideful. It is not self-seeking. It is not evil. Love is not unforgiving. Love is not judgmental. Love is not divisive. It doesn't separate people. Love brings people together. A good example of love that is not divisive, that is not judgmental, and that is a unifier and not a separator of people is found in Luke chapter 6. Again, a long reading, but I wanted to read all of it for y'all this morning. Luke chapter 6, and it's going to be verses 27 through 42. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good unto them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Jesus also told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see more clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. I want to go back and I want to remember the greatest commandment from Matthew 22 at this point. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. That's it. No buts, no what ifs, no if onlys. Love God with everything you have, everything you are, and love your neighbor as yourself. There is a period after that statement. Remember the examples from Jesus. Love the thief, even though he sins. Love the woman at the well, even though she sins. Love the sexually immoral adulteress, even though she sins. As Jesus said to the crowd around the adulteress, let he without sin throw the first stone. So it is with us. Let he without sin decide who deserves love. Love is merciful, full of grace, forgiving, unifying, not judgmental, and is the best way to show your walk with Christ. While we are commanded to love each other, we are also taught to turn from our sin and not continue in the sinful path, knowing we are sinning. Again, we look at those examples. Jesus was honest. He told the woman at the well that he knew that she was committing sin. He told the adulteress to go and sin no more. And Zacchaeus was so happy to have Jesus, he gave back all that he had stolen while collecting taxes. In the examples, the love of Jesus overcame the sin, and all turned from their sin. Loving someone doesn't mean do not acknowledge the sin. Do not pretend that the sin isn't there. But it does mean love them even though they sin. Love them regardless of the sin. Show them love. Show them that love with actions in Matthew 25. Show them the love with the characteristics from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Show them that godly love from Matthew chapter 22. Love your neighbor as yourself and show them the path of love and righteousness. Imagine today if Christians, if we all left here, if Christians everywhere that proclaimed to be Christians showed that love, showed the love that's not divisive, showed the love of Christ, of bringing people together, that those who felt that love, that saw that love, that they turned from their sin. That is the godly love each of us should have, that we should show to others, that we should be known for everywhere we go. We do not hide from the sin. We acknowledge it. We confront it with that love, with a love so great and so pure, a godly love that people see that they turn away from their sin. The greatest show of love this world has ever known is Jesus and his sacrifice. The godly love he showed for each of us by suffering and dying to give us that path to heaven. By living a life of love that all of us are called to imitate. The best way to show our walk with Christ is to love others in such a way that brings them to Christ. So as I close this morning, I want to end with an offer, an urging of love. If you are struggling in your daily life, in your walk with Christ, to show godly love to others, to have a forgiving love, a unifying love, a non-judgmental love of Christ, don't walk the path alone. If you know the person sitting next to you, if they're struggling, if they need support, if they need help, if they need prayers, don't let them walk that path alone. You don't have to come up front. You can pray right where you're at with that person. But don't let them walk the path alone. Show them godly love. Show them support. If coming forward is what you need to do, this is a great time to do that. Come forward. Let us pray with you. Let us wrap our arms around you in that godly love and show you support. If you want to say yes to the love of God for you and answer his call to believe in him, to repent of your sins, to be baptized, to walk forward with that godly love surrounding you, I urge you to do that now. Step into the aisle, come forward, be baptized as we stand and as we sing.